All right, let's start today from the book of Daniel. We were reading that last time. Let's pick up from there. We have been speaking about prayer and personal purification in this, our school of prayer. Sometimes people ask me that, how do I pray? The most important thing is for us to understand that to have the right thoughts and the right thought processes in our hearts rather than follow a particular method. That's what I want to say, all right? The method is not, okay, do I kneel down? Do I stand up? Sometimes people ask whether what they need is, you know, we give different names to prayer, prayer of petition, prayer of this, and they are really correct. But what we need to know is that we must have understanding of what we are doing so that we do not misdirect our effort. Sometimes people are they are praying, but they are praying about what is not actually not a prayer point. Do you understand? For example, Jesus says something like this: take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. If we turn that thing to a prayer point, it's a misguided prayer point. Jesus, the scriptures make it clear to us that we are seated above in Christ Jesus, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And like I say all the time, Christians, at least in today's Christianity, people now spend a lot of effort trying to fight these their imaginary enemies. Again, it is a misguided prayer. You understand my point? If we know what is right, if we understand the underlying principles, then you can pray any way you like. There are things you will not bother praying about, like I said before. There are things Jesus said we must never pray about. There are things he said we should really not pray about. And there are things he says we must pray about. If you don't pray about them, they will not be done. So those are the things we just keep learning. And so we're not here just to pray, but to learn the thing and then how to pray. So that, you know, they came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. So once we know those things, prayer is actually a very simple thing. And one thing I've emphasized over the last few weeks is the fact that prayer is a continual thing. It says, pray without ceasing. It is possible to pray without ceasing if you realize that the very words that you utter, all right, they have spiritual power in them. So you use your words very carefully. All right, so let's continue today from the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Daniel was given a revelation of things to come. We just want to bring out a concept from here. From verse... let me not spend too much time. I'll rush from verse 29. He said, at the appointed time, he will return and come into the south. But this last time, it will not turn away the way it did before. And then, let me just jump here and that's what will save time. So toward the end of that verse, he says, so he will come back and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant, that is, those who despise the Lord. Verse 31 says, and the forces within will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation. And by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness. Now, verse 32 is exactly where I was going. I just like to read in context. And by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. The King James sounds very nice there. He said they will be strong and show exploits. Those who know their God, they will be strong and do exploits. This one says that they will display strength and take action. And those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. I say, yeah, they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and by plunder for many days. Now let me just stop there. Bear that in mind. There is talking about the power of knowledge. That if a woman understands and knows his or her God, then strength is part of that person's life. That is, spiritual strength does not come from just praying. Spiritual strength comes from understanding. It's from knowledge. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Let me just quickly drop this one for us again. It is the area, when we talk about knowing God now, we are talking about the deep understanding of the character of God. What I mean is this. If in the area of your life that you recognize God, that is where you experience His power. The one I've been saying again and again to help people to understand is, I talk about when you are eating food, they give you food, the first thing you do is to do what? To give thanks. The reason why you do that is that you are acknowledging that God is a supplier. You are acknowledging that God is the source of all things. If you don't do that, you unconsciously are thinking that your strength, all right, has begotten you this food. You think that your own effort has brought these resources into your life. And I said that if you raise children without understanding that food does not come because daddy works, food does not come because mommy has a job, food comes because it is a gift of God. That a man can work and have nothing to show for it. That he may gather much, all right, and he puts them into a pocket and he finds that they have holes in them. That the reason why food comes to the table is because God is a supplier. If a child grows up like that without understanding, listen to me, he will never lack in life. If he's in the middle of the Sahara Desert, angels will have to fly food down for him. Are you getting my point? Because he understands that wherever I am, what I'm eating, it may look common. Don't ever forget that. You know, I talk about the simplicity of divine intervention. All right? It may look common. It may look like everybody around is eating. All right? It doesn't matter. It is still God that's delivering your own food to you. The reason why everybody around is eating is because God is merciful. It is not because food is just there. Please, you must understand that. It is possible for God to break the staff of bread. So now, if we understand, that's what I'm trying to explain, the meaning of the knowledge of God. So if you understand God in that area, the strength to have all your needs supplied will never be missing from your life. You know, things happen, you know. Maybe you feel like, you know, actually a friend of mine called me yesterday, and he was talking about how somebody he relied on disappointed him, yet God did not disappoint. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. That is, yeah, of course, he committed his ways unto the Lord, but because he knew somebody, he said, okay, you will help me do this. And he said, he's a good brother, you understand? But that fellow didn't show up for him at all. But despite the fact that fellow didn't show up for him, you understand, he had a lot of help. He had a lot. He said it was as if God just went there and prepared things for him. Let me give an example. Maybe he told somebody, please help me book a hotel as an example. And that fellow did not. When he got there, someone, as they were going for a function. As we were going, somebody said, where are you going? He said, oh, we are going to Enugu. Enugu. It's not Enugu, just give us an example. He said, Enugu, don't worry. My father has a house there. It's very nice. We have a housekeeper, and there's nobody living in it right now. And there's like 4 rooms. Just say, get there, give, you know, call, tell the housekeeper, give him the phone. I'll tell him to let 2 people in. Now, somebody did not agree to book a hotel room for them, yet they got a whole house free of charge. Are you getting my point? Now, so it happens that, you see, you think human beings are the ones helping, but a true believer understands, that's what I'm talking about, he knows that God is the helper. He may use human beings. After all, that house, the fellow who gave it to them, the housekeeper, they are people. All right? But you can see that it was the hand of God, you understand what I'm saying, that arranged everything for them. So that there are times you don't know anybody. Now, I'm talking about the knowledge of God. And you know that wherever I go in life, God will prepare help for me. Now, it's not just about wishing. You know it is inside you. It's just a settled part of your being. Anytime you need help, you will have help. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That's why I keep on telling Christians to understand. You are not at any disadvantage because you don't know people. It's not right. David said, who do I have in heaven but you? And for that reason, upon this earth, I do not desire to know anybody. He wasn't saying God wouldn't, people wouldn't help him. But he said, this is how the Bible says it. I called the man of, a bird of prey from the east, and the man of my purpose from a distant country. That is, God will anoint the help the way he wants it. But I don't lock my eyes, I don't lock my hope on an individual. God can use people. And the Bible says that it's nothing for God to save by a few or save by a multitude. Anyone he wants to do, salvation is of the Lord. You know, something happened yesterday, all right? I was just in Israel a bit about it. And I don't know whether that is relevant. Anyway, I had to go to the police station anyway. You know, something happened yesterday. I just got a call. So and so thing happened. What? I got really angry. I got to the station. But something happened. I got there. Now, the Lord is good. Now, what I want to say, you understand what I said? The Lord is good. Actually, I know people. Are you getting my point? Yeah, I know people. I know people. In fact, I just called them apostle. You know, they call somebody. The person that came to solve the matter is a retired military administrator. You understand? I just walked in. Uh-huh. Yeah, where's the DPO? You know, those kind of things. And we just waited outside. Now, I'm going somewhere. I knew that kind of thing could happen. All right? When I got there, one of my friends, he's a pastor. I just sent him a message. I said, boy, I was supposed to have called him. I said, please, I'm at the police station. I'm handling something. I said, big men are coming. You understand? Big people. I had two policemen beside me trying to solve the problem, you know, on my side. So I said, big people are coming. We're waiting outside to have the matter solved inside. I said, but pray. I said, because safety is of the Lord. That's where I'm going. I said, look, I don't want my eye to be distracted by all this, big man kind of thing. No, I said, I just sent him a message. I said, oh boy, please pray for favor. In fact, when I was telling him big men are coming, I was almost confessing it like, we are not relying on this. We are rejecting, in quotes, spiritually now, rejecting the help of man directly and connecting with the help of God. So I said to him, pray for favor. I said, because safety is of the Lord. Because victory is of the Lord. It is God that actually pleads your case. Are you getting my point? So they were telling me, don't mind this. These are the babies, it's a trivial matter. But as they are saying it outside, on the inside, me, I'm interceding. Are you getting my point? I'm connecting with help from above. I am not fooled to think it is because I know people. Are you getting my point? That the matter just got solved that easily. Of course, I had righteousness on my side. You understand? Okay? Now, the point I'm just making is that in the midst of everything, I refused, okay, to have myself distracted. I just said to my friend, I said, please pray. Because me, I was distracted there by all plenty moving around. I said, you just be praying. Why? I said, safety is of the Lord. Victory is of the Lord. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who made the police force and good luck Jonathan and me and all of us. Are you getting my point? My help comes from the Lord. I'm talking about what it means to know God, though. That's what it means to know God. It's not to be able to tell stories about him. To say, I've gone to church, I have a book written about God. No. It's to recognize that God is in control of different aspects of life. And like somebody said, he said, we experience the power of God in the area we have chosen to believe him. Let me put it in my own words. In the area that we have recognized him. You know, once one of our friends, he said something to me, was applying for a job somewhere. And I happened to know everybody in that place. I said, why did you not tell me now that you were applying for a job there? He said, but you told us that we don't need to know anybody. I said, you are very correct. You know, like the Bible says, you are more righteous than I in this one. He said, and he knew I knew people there. He knew I knew everybody there. And he knew me. But he just said to himself, but the same Pastor Banky said that I don't need to. So why am I telling him? Why am I bothering him? And of course, he got his job. He got his job. You understand my point? If he tells the testimony, you know it's God that just took that and gave to him. Why? Because he recognized that, all right, that it's God that gives these things to people. I'm talking about knowing God. Very important. Any part of your life, don't let Satan, what he does sometimes is to distract us and keep our eyes, you know, in an area. One day, one of our friends, he said something. His son has plenty bushy hair. Meanwhile, his hair, you know, don't they disappear fast, very fast. So he now said, that one, there's no problem. That he always picked that one from his mother. All right, that in the mother's family, there's no baldness. So he now made a statement like, he won't go bald like me. I said, oh boy, error. I'm going somewhere. I said, you see, you have put your hope on the flesh. Very important. Someone say you want to marry, start doing investigations in the family. Okay, but I know I look. Christians, be careful the kind of thing they push you into. Be very, very careful. and say, hey, let's go and investigate the family. All those things, eh? As a believer, when you put your hope in things like that, listen, your failure is right ahead. You will meet it about 15 years' time. You won't know the day you sowed the seed. I just said to my friend that day, I said, forget that one. If you don't want your boy to grow bald, put a hand on his head. I said, this boy, you won't grow bald like me. Simple. That is, we recognize that no baldness is of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's something to recognize God. A lot of times in life, what we do is that we don't recognize him. We want to prosper in life, we recognize our certificate. So it is God. We want to prosper in life, we recognize the people that we know. So they are God. And that's why God said, I am God and there is none else. Why does it bother with such statements? Because, all right, people often put their eyes somewhere else. So what he's doing is that, oh boy, look this way. That's not God. Are you getting my point? I am God. People often make this mistake because when God uses things to bless them, they now think those things are they are the source of the blessing. Those things, they can't be the source of the blessing. They are the instruments by which God bless people. Back to the issue of genetics. I said, I told my friend, that just speak the word to your boy's head. Because we've read the scriptures enough that genetic engineering is of the Lord. All this one of in our family, there's no this kind of disease in our family. Don't worry, in our family they are very intelligent. In our family, I told you before, when it comes to God, you have to choose to reject both the good and the bad if it's natural. Everybody agrees to reject the bad. But when it comes to the good, they want to hold on to it. That weakens your faith. You know, in our family, we live long. There's no family that lives long that we can't know they kill them if they jam them. I don't know whether you heard that. You say, in our family, we live long. So you know I will live long. Let one of them fall from skyscraper. You know, there's no family that has resistance against hitting concrete. When you hit the floor, every family is pulverized. You understand what I'm trying to explain? So, but when people think that, you know, because you see, it's what the media puts in our faces every day. But we as Christians, we know God. We recognize God, that what is long, where does long life come from? Is a gift of God. It's from God. It's one that preserves our lives. It is not the genes we did not inherit. Now, these spiritual principles are very important. They shape the way things turn out for us. They do. They do. They decide the experience we will have in life. It is the area in which we have chosen to recognize him that the power of God is manifested. That's why I say to people all the time, I'm even tired of preaching that message, though it's the truth. We have to keep preaching it. Although people have gotten tired too anyway, you know. Events have proven us right. That prosperity is not in any country. You know, right now, everybody has realized, most people have realized, some people are still foolish, but most people have realized it. You can go to London and you will be poor. You go to United States of America and poverty is waiting for you. When you arrive, shake your hand. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Where do we stay? It's we. You know, it's your friend. That kind of thing. It can happen. People have recognized it. We recognize that it is God that blesses. He's the one that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He is the one. He's the one that said, I can cause prosperity to flow towards you anywhere you are. It will flow like a river. I will cause the wealth of the nations to flow towards you like an overflowing stream. We recognize that. So we know that if we are in Rwanda, we are blessed. That if God says, relocate into the center of Sahara Desert, we know the place will soon blossom because of our presence. We're talking about the knowledge of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. So he says, it's those who know their God that will be strong. They are the ones that will display strength and take action. Now, we're talking about prayer and personal purification. So let me not be sidetracked from the main thing I'm trying to say. But I want to emphasize the issue of that knowledge of God. Therefore, let me just point this one out. Let's even take the very context in which one was spoken. We were talking about purification. You will see now he was talking about people being distracted into idolatry. He was talking about people being deceived by the Antichrist. He was talking about people being, all right, having their ways perverted. And how did he say it? Now, let's go back up there. to that chapter, to verse 32. He said, by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. That is, if you find somebody acting too wickedly towards the covenant, it is because he or she has been turned away by smooth words. I hope we are getting what I'm going to explain. When people are denying the faith, when people are speaking against the word of God, it is because they have been turned away by smooth words. It's very, very important what I'm telling you. Because sometimes when people take, maybe when they make decisions, when they take steps, and they start explaining to you where they are taking the steps, it's usually because they have neglected or they are backsliding from the truth that they used to know. And that's what we're talking about here. That they get by smooth words. Let me give this an example again. You know, once a friend of mine was speaking to me, he was going to move to the UK and all of that. And so we're talking, and he was just talking plenty in my house, explaining all the good things about living in the UK. I still remember his words. There, you'll be able to plan for your children. I was looking at him as if, in fact, I wasn't looking at him. I was staring out. We're standing in front of my house. We're looking into the sky. And as he was speaking, I realized he was trying to persuade himself that what he was doing was correct. He said, you won't have to worry about this. There, you will do this. And he was talking to me. Let me use this expression, smooth words. Smooth words. Once he said to me, he said, thank you, on the phone. When are you coming to join us? In my mind, where? Who is us? You know, sometimes it's like people don't, I think they don't understand. Maybe they think I just preach. I don't believe what I'm saying. Because if you hear me speak, there are questions you should not ask me. If you just said, Frank, what are your plans? Do you have anything like this in mind? It's a good question because the Lord can say anything, you understand? But when he asks the question, hey, so when are you coming to join us? Join us in what? Now, but why did all this smooth talk not move me? That's what I'm talking about. Why was I not persuaded? It's simple. Because, listen, I wasn't born in Enugu State, too. I hope you know. Not even in Anambra. Not even in Delta. Not even in Edo State. It's the next state. That's where I was born. The closest I ever came to Enugu before, really, for stay, was school, University of Benin. After that, I went to Lagos to go and do my postgraduate studies. And then I married a woman from Delta State. So by the time I jumped 4 or 5 states and come to Enugu to settle down, you should know that there are things I think about. I don't know whether you get my point. Somebody said that, were you transferred here? I said, when did you hear a university lecturer was transferred? Have you ever heard that the Igwe of this place has been moved? It's not the Igwe of your... So they have a saying in Benin City. They say, Oba, no, they go transfer. So I told the person, when did you hear Oba went on transfer? University lecturers, they are like that. They don't go on transfer. But that I made my decisions and my motions were based upon understanding and revelation. So that's why I could go anywhere. So when I came here and said to them, I said, all this smooth talk, they couldn't move me. They couldn't move me. Why? Because I understood from time. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's the base of my actions. I've understood it. I told you, when I'm praying for, when I first came that time, until now, if it happens, my prayer for, okay, maybe I want to move from one house to the other, is never about, hey, God, help me find the house, things are rough, Lord, me, I'm your son. You know there's nowhere else I will go. You know those kind of prayers. They are not bad prayers. I'm not saying they are terribly bad prayers. They are not very nice. They sound too beggy. You know what I'm saying? That's not my point. That's not Christian prayer, really. All right? As if God forgot that you are his son. You know that kind of thing. He didn't forget. Yeah, they want, anyway, some of those prayers, we are reminding ourselves of things. All right? Uh-huh. But the way I pray my own is that, Lord, okay? Before I came here, you knew I was going to come. So where is the house I'm supposed to be staying in? I'm not planning to stay by the roadside or under a bridge. You know, so where's the house? That's my attitude. I always look out for that which is mine. And you say, what do we mean? I get to a house. It looks very nice. It's a fantastic deal. You understand? It doesn't fit my personality. I don't take it. There's nothing like, opportunity. I said, no, there's not like opportunity. If it's mine, it's wait for me. So once it doesn't fit my person, it's not my own. No. Oh, they're selling house here. Things I could afford easily. No. I look at it. I said, I'm not a real estate dealer. I'm not going to buy a house and rent it to be collecting rent. I said, it's even bad business, generally speaking. Anyway, I said, any house, I have to live in it. So this is not the size of house I will live in. Why do I think like that? Because I don't believe my own is a game of chance. Opportunity, grab it. Listen, let me ask you a question. Are you going on the road? Me, as I did so, you know, you see me like this. I'm going on the road. I just see one fine woman. I say, opportunity, grab her. You know, you're going to look at a pastor waiting. I say, pastor, that's not your wife. That's not what, did you get my point? How can you just grab up? You look at what nonsense of opportunity is that? What do I do? Mrs. B, now you be that? No. Okay, sorry. You look like my wife. I thought you. You know, you look as, then you see your wife. Okay, I've been waiting for you. I told you I'll wait on the other side. That is, it has a label. That's why she's Mrs. My name. Are you getting my point? It's not opportunity. Grab it. If the opportunity is not my own, you should go and meet the person it was sent for. Now, this is a mindset too. So when I'm praying, I'm looking for the house. I just get there, look at it. This one not gel. Hey, we may not see another one. Why won't I see another one? I will find the one that's my own. And listen, it doesn't fail. It hasn't failed me till now. It has not failed me till now. That I don't cry over, if you had just gotten here, it wasn't mine. I'm talking about why smooth words don't entice me. Because I've come to realize that my future is in God's hands. My life, like I was speaking about a few weeks ago, was planned by God. All I need to do is agree with Him, and you find out His angels are arranging things ahead of time. He's talking about knowing their God. So it's when people don't have this understanding, they're easily enticed. Oh, this is where action is. If you want to just get to Sweden like this, you just be making money. Then suddenly you get up and go and run after money in Sweden. What are you going to do for the Swede? You don't know. What do they need in that country? You don't know. What skills do you have that will help? They say, when we get there, Sha. Useless life. A very stupid way to live. As a daily life, not daily life. See, circumstances wagging you to and fro. Have you ever seen a dog happy? As like the tail will be going like this. A lot of us are like that. The life is just wagging us up and down. That's why it's so easy to entice people. Listen, if you understand that God controls wealth, He controls prosperity, nobody can beg you to come and steal. Nobody. Nobody. Because you won't understand the purpose. So you want to take what God has not given me by force? How? They say, just one run. You know, just take this wrap of cocaine. Just take this wrap across the border. That's how this guy did it the other time. He made like 15 million naira. Now he's started his business. And his business is thriving. Listen, let me just give you a tip by the wayside. Anybody that started a business with stolen money is still stealing. If that business is thriving. He's still stealing. He hasn't stopped. Don't let them deceive you that he just did that deal once. And now, it's a lie. He's still stealing. The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. You start by stealing, you will continue by stealing. And you cannot stop stealing until finally you get to prison. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But those who know their God, they cannot be persuaded with smooth words. That's what we are talking about. They can't be persuaded with smooth words. They know that, listen, this thing is coming from God above. So what are we talking about? Nobody's going to persuade me with smooth words. Don't forget, our message is on prayer, the role it plays in personal purification. Therefore, it means if I will not be persuaded to walk into iniquity, to do wickedly against a covenant, if I will not be persuaded thus with sweet, smooth words, it is not because I just refuse to say, no, I will not be persuaded. It is because I have what? Knowledge. It is because I know my God. You know, I've told you before, let me say it again. If you're a prayer house person, just by the way, go and check it. If I'm wrong, come and tell me I'm wrong, and I'll tell you that you don't know what you are saying anyway. This one I can't be wrong, but go and check. There is nobody who visits prayer houses whose problems go away. Go and check what I'm saying. They only get addicted. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
They only get what? They just get addicted. Their problems never, ever go away. Once you are hooked into this prayer house thing, you know what I call prayer house? Which, in case you do not know, is a business house. It's business house. Nobody runs it that's trying to help you. Very important. Nobody runs it that's trying to help you. They are trying to stay afloat. They are trying to make money. Very important what I'm saying. Once you start this prayer house matter, which is a problem today again, even though it's not today's problem, it's been there for a very long time. Every time looking for who we pray, prophesy. In fact, this is how you know you have problems, are these spiritual problems. Once I jump in and they say, there's one man on that side, and you pack your bag, you go there. Are you getting my point? Then after two, you say, that one is not powerful enough. There's one woman. There's one woman. She's at this particular, and they describe that place. And you go, just know you are in bondage. Anybody listening to that's been doing like that, just know that you have been picking. Listen, this is a matter of fact. Everywhere you have been going, you have been picking one evil spirit after the other. Your problems have been compounded. If you went there with one-sided migraine before, the first 2 days, the migraine will cool down small. It's called placebo effect. It's a medical word. It means that you have hope, therefore you improve. After 1 week, the migraine will come back on one side and add the other side. Then you need a more powerful prayer house. Then the pain will leave the neck, head, and move down and join the neck. But you eat in between, listen to me, you'll be having reprieve for like a week, a month, sometimes up to 2-3 months. There will be some period in which it appears like things have gotten better. But listen to me, if you have gone to 10, you have 10 new problems. I don't know why I'm saying this. I think some people need to hear it. Let me warn you. If you don't want to die early, avoid prayer houses. You know what they call prayer houses? We're talking about knowledge. There is nobody. Now, let me say this. If you like, think I'm arrogant. But you know what I've realized when you think like that? Is your problem. There is nobody that his or her prayer is more potent than my own. I hope you believe that concerning yourself too. Even Jesus said something to the disciples. Now I'm telling you, when you pray, now I won't even talk to the Father for you anymore. The Father himself does what? He loves you. So, once the Father himself loves you, what is remaining? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is why I don't have time for prayer houses. What do you need? You need learning houses. Did you hear what I said? What do you need? What do you need? Yes, you need to learn the word of God. I just digress into that, all right? One brother I was talking to me the other day, he said, somebody said, okay, let's go for a prayer house. Okay, that's why I remembered it. He said, when he went with them for certain reasons, when they finished, he sent them a message and said, please, that is not the kind of place I go to. Why? Because those who know their God, they cannot be corrupted with smooth words. You go there, everybody is praying and they are handing out candle and oil and things and like that. You're looking at all of them. When they finished, the people that carried him, they said, listen, I don't come to such places. You don't know where deliverance is. No, you, all of you are blind. You have been bewitched. And actually, oh God, I'm digressing again. Actually, those guys are master bewitchers. What did I call them? I don't know whether any English word like bewitchers, but at least you've learned something today. They like to be, that is, there's a way they do it. Actually, what happened, it's a spell. No, oh God. You know, Paul said to the Galatians, who has bewitched you that these people can be bewitched? But why will you not fall for that? That's actually where I'm going. You know, when we're young those days, now, this is the thing. I followed my mother to a prayer. It's a prayer person's house, not the prayer house itself. But, you know what I mean, a prophetess's house. And I remember the woman prayed. In fact, okay, I remember I went there twice. Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah. And I never went with my mother. Once it was my father, and the other time it was my cousin. All right? On my mother's side. Now, so the whole family knew that woman. She was a professional. You understand my point? And she used to see visions that used to come to pass, like T.B. Joshua. So those of you are impressed by that joker. It's not new. You know, maybe that's why I'm not impressed. I've seen his type since I was a child. You know, all these people, you know, I don't know, those of you grew up in Enugu and Anambra and Imo, you never see anything. We will grow for that side there. We think we never, you know, if we didn't have white garment church here, did you have much? That's why some can be impressive. You know, those of us who have been seeing white garment churches were children. We are not impressed. We've seen small boys prophesy, old men prophesy, and we know it's a business. We've been seeing it for a very long time. Now, let me not digress from the main thing I'm trying to say. Apparently, everybody in my extended family, that's my, I went with my father once. I went with my cousin on my mother's side once. And though I never went with my mother, those are the two times I went there. But I know that she used to go there too. My aunties, everybody went. And the woman used to prophesy. But my mother said something once, which I will never forget. He said, this is the interesting part. When she prophesies, usually it's a bad thing. And that they always come to pass no matter what you do. One day the woman came to my grandfather's house where some of my aunties were and some of my relatives were staying there.